Hey friends, you are listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast, where we share stories of hope, inspiration, and encouragement from special needs families from around the world. I'm your host, Becky Davidson, and I am so glad to be back with you. I had to unexpectedly be out for the last episode because I was in the hospital with my son. He has been dealing with some health issues for the last 6 weeks or so that have included multiple surgeries, and he ended up unfortunately getting an infection from one of those surgeries that required us to be in the hospital for a week. Not the place you want to be during a global pandemic, but thankfully they took great care of him and we are back home and he is doing fabulous and I'm so grateful. And if you missed that last episode, Kim Thorpe from our team, she did a great job filling in as host, and she had a wonderful conversation with Daniel and Dusty Brooks, who just so happened to be hosting our upcoming Together Marriage event that we have coming up on Friday, February 26th. So if you missed that episode, I encourage you to go back and have a listen. It was fabulous. And, you know, we at Rising Above, we are so excited and so thankful that we are able to offer this Together virtual event to couples raising a child with special needs. We know firsthand how stressful and challenging marriage can be in general. But, you know, when you add in the special needs component, it's a whole new ballgame. And in this virtual event, we're going to be talking about the unique dynamics that impact couples raising a child with special needs in ways that you can strengthen your marriage. And you can find out more on our website, risingaboveministries.org, or on our new and free app that's available in the App Store or in Google Play. And we'll also include a link to sign up. So my guests today on the podcast are also part of the Together Conference. Kenesha and Jarrell Roach share part of their story at the event, and I also got to have this conversation with them recently where they share more about their life as a special needs family. Now, you may recognize Jarrell because he's been a guest on the podcast before, and he also was part of our event that we had last November for special needs dads. And so we're so grateful that he's back with us for this event. Trust me, you're going to love hearing from them as they share from their heart in this episode, and you're also going to want to hear more from them. So I encourage you to sign up for the Together Marriage event. Again, the Rising Above Together Marriage event will be on Friday, February 26th. And you know, if you're not able to join us on the 26th, no worries. If you sign up, you will have access to the content for up to 2 weeks after the event. So you'll have plenty of opportunities to get to watch the event, even if you can't join us on Friday, February 26th. So here are my friends, Jarrell and Kenesha Roach. Jarrell and Kenesha, thank you all so much for joining us for the Rising Above podcast. I'm so excited that you're here, and I cannot wait to have this conversation with the two of you. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, we're glad to be
here. Yeah, all the way from Nebraska. Now, Jarrell, you and I we've done several projects together so far, and you actually came to Cookeville to be part of our dad's event back at the end of last year, and so we got to spend some time with you. But Kenesha, this is the first time I'm getting to connect with you, and I appreciate you guys taking time away from your family to have this conversation. Now, something that you're going to be a part of with us is our upcoming conference that we're hosting for couples raising children with special needs, married couples, and it's our Together Marriage Conference, and it's coming up in just a few weeks at the end of the month. And you all are part of this event, and we are so excited. Now, I've got to tell you, I watched your video, part of your video content yesterday, and it is fabulous. It is fabulous. And I can't wait for people to hear your story. So we're going to kind of give a little tease about like some of the things you're going to talk about in the conference, but we want people to come and be part of the conference. So We won't dive too deep because we want them to come hear your content. So
You got it.
But it was good. So, okay, you guys, you've been married for how long now?
It'll be 12 years on Valentine's Day.
Coming up.
12 years on Valentine's Day. And I got to hear the backstory. We're not going to share that because I want people to come to the conference. But it's a sweet, sweet story. So you've been married for 12 years and you've got lots of kiddos in your family. Yeah. So tell us about your family and your kiddos and what your family looks like.
Yeah.
We have an 18-year-old son named John. And then we have a 11-year-old daughter named Karya, a 2-year-old son named Jeremiah, and a 5-year-old daughter named Carly. So we have a kindergartner, or our son started college, and our youngest started kindergarten.
Wow.
The same year. Yeah. So we have a lot. I like to call it the ages and stages of, well, when I'm doing like interviews and things of motherhood, but of parenthood, because literally if you have a child going to kindergarten and college at the same time, that's a lot going on.
Yeah, there is a lot going on. And then in two of your kids have special needs, right? Am I correct in that?
Yes, our 10 and 11-year-old, the ones that live.
They're on the spectrum, autism spectrum, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I know we're going to talk a little bit today about how that has impacted your life as a married couple and what that's looked like. But, you know, I want to ask you, like I said, people are going to have to come to the Together Conference to get to hear more of your story. But I want to ask this. So you all, you know, I heard your backstory, but I want to know, Kanisha, so like when you first saw Jarrell, what was your first impression? What did you think when you saw him? I want to know, what did you think?
I thought he was pretty much like he is now. Pretty witty, pretty happy.
Yeah.
Very, very bubbly personality. I'm a little more like calm, quiet, and he's very, I'm here.
Yeah.
I thought he was, oh yeah. I thought he was a little younger. Because when I first was seeing him around, he always had a backpack. So I thought he was a little bit younger.
What was in your backpack, Jarrell?
That's top secret information.
Yeah. I want to know what was in the backpack.
I've carried a backpack for a long time, like becoming a student. So probably some books. I always have my Bible with me. So it was just known for me to keep a backpack, notebook. I was always writing notes. And I'm sure I had like gum. You know?
Important things. Got to have that fresh breath for when you meet the one. You know, that's right.
And he still has a backpack or a bag.
All the time.
That's so funny.
I figured Nisha gets it because she carries a purse, but like with nothing in it. And I just. No, I've just always been that way. Just love traveling with my word and my notebook, and I just haven't carried it around. I'll leave it someplace.
Yeah.
It's not backpack, I'm sure.
Okay, yeah. So Jarrell.
Yeah.
Saw her. Was it love at first sight? Were you like, she's the one?
Yeah, let me fix this story a little bit, just a second. I don't show up like, here I am, but I do love engaging people, and I love people. It's good seeing people. And when I met Kanisha, at first we met in the choir stand. She was giving me my note because I was singing the wrong note. But I knew her mom and her sisters and her dad. Her mom helped me to move up to this to Omaha and helped me to find a roommate and stuff like that. Because I had no clue who to meet or live with. Mm-hmm. And when I met her, she's cool, just like her family. Real, real nice family. Just like loving, caring, sincere family. And we just kept seeing each other and kept hanging out. And that was like our introduction into our bond. She was just a beautiful lady. And like, I love her voice. I still really love her voice. It's sweet. She can pick up the phone sometimes and say hello. And she can attest to that. I just said, your voice is just so cute.
Aww.
And I just love her voice. I just love her voice. And it was fun spending time with her family. It was fun spending time with her siblings. And like, that's how I kind of fell in love with her. She was just really beautiful, real beautiful. One little, her cute little dimple on her cheek and on her chin. And she had a really neat bob haircut that I really enjoyed seeing. And it was just fun. Hung out with her and her family a lot. And that was it. It was just real natural.
That was it. And you knew that it was, you were the one for each other. And it's,
yeah, I would have married Kadisha earlier if I hadn't been more concerned about saving up for the wedding ring. So, but I wanted to do everything right.
I wanted to do it right. That's right. That's so sweet. Well, so how far into your marriage then did you found out you're going, you know, your child, your first child got diagnosed with autism. How far into your marriage were you guys at that point?
Well, our son actually was younger. He got diagnosed with autism initially before our daughter did. She got diagnosed a little bit later on, actually. But she was diagnosed with a developmental disability at a very young age. And then has since then got diagnosed with ADHD. But we were probably about 2 or 3 years in, I guess. About 2 years in. Yeah, 2-3 years in when we the diagnosis with our son.
With Jeremiah.
With the specific autism diagnosis. But again, earlier with our daughter for the developmental disability. And then later on, we found out about her. She got diagnosed with autism.
Yeah, and it was all close because they're only 13 months apart. So we seen more visible things with Jeremiah. We felt like there were some delays with her, but she could possibly go out of it because we had just been with kids for some time in our careers or in our, you know, in our backgrounds concerning like the job and the work that we've done. And like, I know like even like as you're just raising kids, you look at somewhat of delays and you go, well, the kids will probably grow out of that.
Right,
and we started with Kanya, and it just continued to, it was just something that continually stayed there in addition to things that we've seen. You know, but Jeremiah, like the tapping of his foot, you know,
stimming,
and he as a little fella, and the constant crying, a lot of crying all the time with Jeremiah.
And that's hard on a young couple, you know, when you're you know, newly married, trying to figure out married life anyway, and then you throw in a diagnosis. And so how did you handle that? How did, Jarell, how did you come at it as a dad? And I know that just from, because I know you, you've had experience growing up with individuals with special needs. Kanisha, I don't know if you did or not, but I know from your background that, Jarell, that you did. So how did you, as a dad, approach going, you know, this new reality in your life that your child now has a diagnosis of autism? How did you respond?
Yeah, my initial response was acceptance because I'd seen it. It just was... There was you kind of have some personal disappointment, not in the children, but like you wonder if you like, yeah, you just wonder like if you've let something down. You wonder about your genetics, you wonder about your DNA, you know, stuff like that. And but there was the initial acceptance because that is the world that I had lived in. And I had been a caregiver and, you know, direct care provider. And it just was that where I lived in. Then it was just, then it was like this initial, like, oh my goodness, how are people going to treat my children? And I just kind of went through that phase. I was not a guy that liked like to try to fix kids. I just didn't live in that world. I lived in the world more of acceptance. So that's where I initially was. And then I just had, you know, some heart concerns for my wife and just how she would deal with it. Cause I could see how she was dealing with some of it.
Yeah. Well, so, Kanisha, how were you dealing with it? How did you respond?
It was overwhelming initially. I think just because I knew maybe plans or hopes or dreams or aspirations that I had for both of them was just now altered. Just changed. And not that they won't be credible children and incredible adults because they're amazing children. But just again, dreams that I kind of had, they just gonna be different now. It's gonna be a different life than you know what I had dreamed of when I found out I was first pregnant and carried them and gave birth and then up until that moment. So But there's a lot of hope still and a lot of love and maybe a fight in me that I didn't know I had before, mm-hmm. just to make sure that I could do everything in my power to help them reach their full potential.
Yeah. Well, Jarell, I want to go back to something you said when you were talking about your experience and your response. You said you were concerned about her.
Yeah.
And how she was responding. And I think that's so sweet because it's so easy for us to get wrapped up in how we're feeling about things that we don't think about our spouse and how they're dealing. So with that same scenario, so what were some things that you did early on to try to, as a team, work together to process that diagnosis?
Yeah. I know one of the things that we had to learn how to do was actually talk about like our emotions around that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because you do come into marriage with certain expectations of what traditionally mm-hmm. may look like childhood and then raising them in the teens and then becoming grandparent and all that kind of stuff. And when that doesn't seem like it's going to play out the way it's going to, then how do you adapt? But then I got to tell you, like, to be real, there's a lot of heated conversations around some of those things that we were wondering if we were going to be able to accomplish. And then we had this transition where I think, especially growing in faith, where we had to lean in and learn to turn it over to God. Mm-hmm. Like, we started trusting more, like, prayers for our kids and, like, meaningful prayers, not just desperate because we're out in man and we don't know what to do, but, like, really want to see kids like contending for healing any way possible, giving us peace. God, would you give us peace to parent the way you parent, mm-hmm. the way you parent us? We just had to make some adjustments that were gonna, you know, cause us to grow as parents. And it's been like phases and it almost like a cycle, like, cause you kind of come back to a new growth and you mm-hmm. kind of have to raise those things again.
Yep.
But a lot of that for us is just getting on that path, trying new things with our kids in public and going, oh my goodness, are they going to fail at this? Or do we have the patience to see them keep running away from the soccer game, you know, and screaming and taking off their clothes and like,
ah! Just never so, know. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. And you just hit these new cycles of acceptance, of mm-hmm. learning how to appreciate like who they are, because they don't ask to come into this world. Our kids never asked. We made our children, and like God made us, we get to give them the best version of the kingdom as possible as we continue to grow as well. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a growth throughout the whole process, the whole time that we're parents, because it's that grieving process when those new milestones, those things, you know, like when my son turned 16 and he's not going to drive. Well, we had to grieve that. And I think as parents, sometimes you're on different pages in that. The mom's in one spot, the dad's in a different, and that can cause such conflict. So it sounds like you all said early on, it's like, okay, we're going to do this together and we're going to work through this. And I'm going to try to help you when you're struggling and vice versa.
We do not have it down. Okay. We don't have it perfect. We're still working on it. Especially, I would say another thing that has been a challenge is Jarell's been deployed a couple of times. And so then I've had to be, you know, a single parent.
It's tough.
And, you know, and I've done it where I've just been here with the kids by myself. And then I, on his last appointment, I was pregnant with our fourth child, finishing culinary school, and you know, was with the kids. And then thankfully one of my sisters came and stayed and helped, and that was a tremendous help, because at that time it was just a different level of stress, because I'm trying to concentrate on school, you know, I'm pregnant, and then my husband's in you know, super far away. Yeah. And
she had the baby when I was gone. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Had the baby about a week and a half after I graduated from culinary school. So that was just a different level of stress. Mm-hmm. So we don't have it perfect, because we just sometimes we just get different things thrown at us and we just have to adjust,
We've had to learn how to adapt. Just like you, I mean, you would know this too, like when life happens, you do. Because there's been more than just a couple of deployments. There was school for 2 months, and there's been like, you know, our missions trips, like those are things where we're doing what we feel like God is assigning us to. And so we go, like, how do we continually find a balance? So like I was saying, like, we have to learn how to kind of adjust, like the cycle comes because there's a growth. And when life comes, like, can we adapt? Like, can we know each other intellectually? Can we know each other enough emotionally? Can we care for each other? But then can we adapt? Because that's going to kind of be how we shift our emotions to grow, and how we shift our knowledge of each other to go, like we actually do got this. This is another thing. Like, this is another thing in life.
But, another thing we're gonna conquer together, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that you go, okay, we're gonna face these things head on, but we're gonna do it together.
Yeah.
And come to that mutual place of understanding of how to make it work. You know, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you all about. You know, one of the things early on in my marriage, Jeff and I, before he passed away, when he died, we had just days before celebrated our 26th wedding anniversary. So we'd been married, you know, for 26 years. And early on, when our son, John Alex, was born, you know, I took the typical role of a mom, and I'm deciding what therapies we're going to do, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And it was caused some conflict because I was running the show without going to Jeff so much. But few years down the road, it was like, okay, well, this isn't working. You know, we need to be having communication, working as a team. And we came to this place of, we're going to be on the same page before we do anything regarding treatments or therapies. We're going to get on the same page as each other. And we're not going to do something if we're not in agreement, therapy-wise, treatment-wise. So have you all run into conflicts like that? Or when you have run into conflicts like that, what have you all done to work through those things? Because, you know, the reality is there's so many things, especially for our kids with special needs, so many treatments, so many things that we could, Jeff would say, I don't want to go down another rabbit hole. We have chased down so many things, you know, and, you know, so how have you all handled conflict in your relationship, in your marriage, when it's come to treatments and therapies and things related to your kids?
That's really good. There's two things that I'll say, and then Nisha, if you want to add on this at all, but like, when we were first getting counseled in marriage and stuff, you would talk to some of the older folks, they would say, you need prayer, you know, and that was it, you know, and prayer. And we'd be like, okay, give us some substance, right?
Right.
But learning how to pray through things and have the integrity to pray when your spouse is not there, and have the integrity to pray when your spouse is there, because like that really does make a difference. And when Christ is at the center of everything that you do, not just because you're Christian, but because he really does run your life, he rules it, that has made a difference in how we learn how to agree. So for us in our roles, like, I'm learning more and more how to appreciate, like, because when you get it, and then another level of life comes and you have to re-get it almost, but how to appreciate our roles as a large, you know, as the provider for the home, and Kenesha being like the one that continually is with the kids at home. Part of my role was learning how to go, like, I trust you, and like, what do we need to do? And like, I need your leadership in that, because like, while I'm out here trying to win for our family, like, I need you to win for our family here. And like, that was a big game changing moment in my world, and just going bring the leadership here, because if God is leading us in that direction, I don't ever want to keep us from that. And that's just kind of been a model that I've tried to endure in our home for a long time. So we have to seek God on this. Let's seek God on this, but we have to have the integrity to be doing it apart or together.
Right.
So that we can operate and lead our family the way that he called us to lead our family. So in our house, we're all leaders. And Nita, my mom, Nisha is a leader influence. And I have to trust her in conflict, and or trust her to be someone that brings resolution to the table and go, we're going to follow your lead in this, you know, as I'm trying to lead in this area as well. And so part of that is just learning how to appreciate who she is when it comes down to what the kids need, and go, okay, so like, how do we get there?
That is a good word. And, I, you know, it's so easy to get You know, we're tired and we're exhausted and we're weary just from the day in, day out care of our kids, that it's so easy for that conflict. You know, and so I think every couple has to come to that place of what, how it looks like in my marriage is going to be different than how it looks like in your marriage. And so figuring out what works for you guys and then following through with that is beautiful. So good job.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say one more thing to that too, like that, and we're both 38 and learning how to learn, like learning what God wants for our marriage, like in all aspects, like, so we're not making comparison to other marriages. Can we learn from other people? Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. That's the whole point. Right. But conflict for us, we really want that to be resolved around this truth.
Yeah.
So that we're not fighting each other, but we're fighting for each other.
Yeah.
You know, and we've had our share of both.
Yeah. So, I've heard the saying, you know, fighting for your marriage, not in your marriage.
You got that right.
Okay. So one of the things, guys, that I noticed when I got to preview your video was that you all do a beautiful job encouraging each other. I mean, it was just so sweet to just hear some of the things that you shared. And so what does that look like in your marriage? And then why is that so important for you all to just be an encouragement to each other?
Well, encouragement for me is a big deal. For me, I'm learning as I'm maybe getting a little bit older. Woo, it's a lot. And so even if I don't, you know, get everything done perfectly, if the laundry's not folded or this, that, and the other, like just encouragement to know, like, we got the kids to school on time.
It's a win. Yeah.
You know, like celebrating those little victories and the big mm-hmm. victories is to me very, very important to do as a special needs parent, because everything every day is not going to go as planned. And so encouragement is really, really, really vital. And just, you can feel insecure. You can feel like you, you know, let people down, drop the ball. And so it really, really is vital. Mm-hmm. And I think in marriage is just encouragement. And I can do better at encouraging Jarrell. I'll admit that sometimes, because I just get sometimes just so overwhelmed with my part because I live with the kids a little bit more. So I know that that's something that I'm working on, is just being more encouraging to him. I am definitely grateful for everything that he does to make sure that we're taken care of and mm-hmm. Have what we need. But yeah, I think encouragement is just it's vital.
Yeah.
And I think that I appreciate how she encourages, because sometimes you can encourage and it's not what's spoken, it's what you do and how you do it. Sometimes it's what you go out of your way to do, it's the effort that you show. And I do tell her a lot that she's one of my favorite role models because she does. She really encourages me. She really encourages me, not just in like deed, but like what she does and who she is, really working hard to become. And I think like God gives us that virtue to be able to see people that way. Compliments are important. Asking her like what encourages her is important. And we already have enough that we can wrestle with in the inside. And it is just important, I think, to minister to your queen and encourage. I love calling. We call. I call her a lot of times right when I leave the house and to work, just to talk to her. If we miss prayer or if we just want to kind of refocus or talk through some stuff, I love talking throughout the course of the day and engaging with her. And sometimes we don't even talk about a whole lot, but we're doing it. And that's like, that stuff is important because we want to be around each other. We want to see each other. I like to touch my wife, not in just a frisky way, although Lord knows that is great too. I like to come home and give her a massage, or I like to come home and hug and greet her like that. That stuff to me
important.
Is just
it's important. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of the favor you get to give your spouse. And love. There's a lot of ways. I love Like right now we're on this giving a gift every day thing. And I like to give gifts. I don't realize I actually like to give gifts, do little things like that. But yeah, just being real focused on doing it more and more. So,
well, and you know, one of my next things I was going to talk about was, and it, that kind of goes, flows right into that is, you know, special needs parents, we're pulled in so many directions and you have to be intentional about it. You have to be intentional about making your spouse a priority. But what does that mean? What does that look like?
Yeah. Compliments and encouragement, saying what the people want to hear, ministering out of the abundance of your heart, praying for your people, speaking the word of God over them. I like write letters. Mm-hmm. You know, I brought her home Reese's Pieces and her favorite tea or one of her favorite teas the other day. I like to tell people about her. I like to talk about her in front of people. Like, because I know it's good for her. And that's if it's sweet. Good for her, it's good for me.
Yeah.
And, we get to share that way. I try to encourage my kids to show appreciation to her in front of her.
Wow. That's good.
That's important to thank their mom and to compliment their mama and correct them if need be, because I don't like the way they talk sometimes to their mom. And like I really try to promote that. Nisha does the same back. And we just really try to think well of each other. We really do. We challenge each other in areas that we need, you know, one another's attention. And then I think I can visibly, you can attest to this if you want, but I think I visibly see us go after that, to just take care of each other's soul.
So important.
And it's fun. Giving is fun, and we watch Extreme Makeovers and other shows where people give and we cry and we get choked up. We're like, we want to do that. And so we like giving to people too. And so it's fun just giving the little things that make a difference and all that good stuff. So,
you know, it's amazing what one kind word or one encouraging word, how that can just totally change your day. And so when you're being intentional about that, when you're teaching your children to speak life, when you're speaking life, you know, it's amazing what a difference that can make in a home. And so I think that's a great example that you all are setting for your kids, for people around you. So often, you know, we hear spouses talking negatively about their spouse in front of other people or cutting them down in front of other people. And, you know, all that does is just cause more division.
And we already have enough on us.
Absolutely.
And even if we're not living in a hard country or place where we're being persecuted for our faith and crazy, then we just already have enough. The enemy tries to throw enough at us.
Yeah.
Just our own, you know, inadequacies can be enough for us.
Yeah.
And I believe like the love and compassion of Jesus Christ can really help us to help each other.
Mm-hmm. Could not agree more.
Yeah.
Could not agree more. You know, I know you, like I have seen so many couples who are special needs parents or not special needs parents, but, you know, they get into those hard situations and they're like, I'm throwing in the towel. I'm quitting. It's not worth it. I can't do this anymore. What do you want to say to them? What would you say to them, to someone, if you're sitting across the table from another couple and they're like, we can't do this anymore. We want out.
Ask the Lord for guidance on how to work through the hard times we've had. We've had times where we've thought about going our separate ways. It's not been a bed of roses, you know, all 12 years. And so in those times, sometimes you just have to step back and just ask God for guidance on how you can make it work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big advocate of therapy. So last year started going, well, my mom passed away 2.5 years ago, almost 2.5 years ago. And so I started going to therapy then, stopped a little bit, started going to therapy again last year and just got a new therapist again, because I just think it's important for me right now just to work on myself, on trying to become better, trying to get those emotions out. So I'm a huge advocate of counseling and therapy, because I just think it can be so beneficial and therapeutic, especially for special needs parents, because there's so many layers of things. So I think when you're going through those hard times, maybe reaching out to someone else, another couple, another woman, if you're a woman, another guy, if you're a guy, and just saying, man, I need some encouragement, mm-hmm. or how have you guys overcome this? And I think, you know, the scripture says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So mm-hmm. hearing other people's testimony sometimes really be the thing that just pushes you to want to do better, to mm-hmm. want to keep being married. And so I think it can be a variety of things that I would tell somebody, but I would just say, just keep fighting, keep trying, keep going day by day. Every day is not easy, but just keep going mm-hmm. Because there's usually greater on the other side of what you're feeling right now. Mm-hmm. There's usually always a victory mm-hmm. On the other side, and we can't always see that. Right. If you're taking it day by day, step by step, and really just asking God to mold and mend your heart mm-hmm. To spouses, then I think you'll see that victory.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good word. Jarrell?
Yeah, I just think it's important to keep marriage in front of God. He has a beautiful dream for our marriage, and he loves marriage way more than we ever could. Mm-hmm. He loves that spouse way more than we ever could. Like, our you know, our efforts just don't compare, although they can be role modeled through him. And I think when we get a chance to love that spouse the way that he loves that spouse, it changes. And that's a work in progress in itself, because there's oftentimes transformations that have to happen inside of you as they're happening, right. Spouses, among their spouses. And so one of the things that was a game changer for me, and I feel like in our marriage, and I'm sure Denise can attest to that, is, man, I spent time interceding for our marriage. And I literally spent time pouring out to God, going, you know, God, this is the thing I don't like. I really want to be with her, but this is what I don't like. And what can you tell me, help me to overcome that? Because I believe you have a remedy for it, and I want it like you want it, because this is not going to work. I want to be with her. I don't want this keep happening, but I want to be with her, and I need your help. Can you teach me what your purpose is for me, what your purpose is for her concerning our marriage, so that we can live the dream that you've already put before our marriage? And so that sounds simple, but it took time. It took hours. It took meeting with different people, just like Nisha was talking about therapy. My route was learning how to sit and ask questions and hear from different leaders and hear how they handle life and go, wow, I'm not the only person. I'm not going through that by myself. Oh, wow, shoot, they mess up too. Oh, mm-hmm. oh, okay, they're not perfect. You know? And so, and God was able to shape, renew, and revitalize. Like, he taught me in the moment. I don't even know if this answers your question per se, but he taught me about how I was giving my joy away. Mm. Gave it to me. And it was just being robbed. Yeah. It was just being totally robbed. Mm-hmm. He gave me dream after dream after I sought him about how the enemy was attacking our marriage. We were letting him. And like, it just woke me up. Yeah. I'm a fighter. I coach people on how to fight, for real. And I just go, no. And Kanisha can attest. I just said, I'm not going to fight no more. Like, right. I don't want to keep doing this. Like, I love you. And I know the feelings are real. You love me. I know the feelings are real, but we're not going to keep doing this, because mm-hmm. this is not God's will. It doesn't even feel close to it. And like, we're Christians. Like, we're supposed to do something different. Like, mm-hmm. we better figure it out. So that's it. And like, so sitting across from the table from somebody, hearing that is a good reminder to ask God what his dream is. Mm.
That's ask good.
And would you partner with him? Because as we made a covenant in this marriage, I can promise you, if he can bring you out of a hell, he can bring you into your marriage in a better way.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
I know those long answers, but man, that's out of our soul a little bit.
And you know, when we're so young, I mean, Jeff and I was 23, he was 24, and you're saying those vows in front of all these people at this, you have no idea. At that age, how those vows are going to be tested, you know, for better, for worse, sickness and in health.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you have to just in your mind go back to that moment of when you first fell in love, go back to that moment, you know, when you're so mad and so angry, to go, no, you know, we made this covenant. We made this commitment before God and for each other that even in spite of all these things, we're going to find our way through, and God will help you navigate it. And I love what you said, Jarrell, because it's like, it's not so much God fix her or fix this in her that I don't like, but it's God, show me what I need to do, or show me how I need to respond, change me in my response. And then once you do that, when you release that, then God can take care of the rest.
Yeah.
You know,
cause he has a version of you already, and we would just do wise to find out what that looks like.
Exactly.
He really does have a good future for us. And that includes parenting and children, mm-hmm. or parenting and marriage and self-care and community. Yeah. And that gives you your joy. That makes you complete, like the Bible promises.
Well, it's good. And I cannot wait for the people who join in for Together to hear the rest of your story, because we didn't even cover hardly anything. I mean, that is actually in your video. And so it's going to be great. And I know it's going to be an encouragement to other parents who are on this journey, raising children with special needs and trying to navigate the special needs life, but then also making your marriage a priority. So thank you both so much for your willingness to share part of your story. I cannot wait for the Together conference for people to hear more from you and what you have to share. So thank you both so much for being with us for the podcast.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Love you.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.